Sunday, the 8th of April has dawned, and just as signs of spring are all around us, and the Lincoln Imps fans have actually made their way to Wembley, the result of which will be known by the time you actually listen to this, we find ourselves here at the awesome Lincolnshire Showground, about to speak to the amazing Sally Mundy in a few moments. She's coming back in a few moments, but Shaylee McKenzie, who is with me at present, your initial thoughts on this, your second visit to the Lincolnshire Showground, because the last time, of course, you were here was for last year's 2017 Lincolnshire County Show.
It was indeed, and it looks really fun-filled and good for the family today.
There's always something special, I feel, about starting off on a nice early time here before the public start wandering in, because you get a kind of sense of just the calm before, not necessarily the storm, but before the fun starts.
Indeed.
Already we've had a look at some of the tractors, and we'll be looking at some of the livestock that will be exhibited as well as we head through this whole thing. We've got various foods, house tasting things as well. And we should hopefully be joined as well in the not-too-distant future by Sue Rice, Dylan Rice and Bridget Rice. Well, as promised, Sally Mundy is here. Sally, it's Monday on Sunday, a classic sort of time. There's a whole series that we could develop on that basis alone, I feel.
Yes, boom, boom. It's a little early for me, Alex, for those sort of jokes this morning, but there we go.
You say that, Sal, but I've already been impressed by the fact that you've been dealing with exhibitors' questions and queries, sorting out the whole thing. As ever, the well-oiled machine that is put together within the whole joy of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Showground continues ever onwards.
Yeah, no, everything's happening here this morning. So exhibitors are finally exhibitors just arriving, and staff are all on site and out and about doing jobs and ready to open at 10 o'clock.
Now, is this the fifth Countryside Links? Because sometimes memory eludes me, and I think, I know we've done about three or four. Is this the fifth or is it the sixth?
I think it's fourth.
It's the fourth. Well, there we are. Well, congratulations on the fourth Countryside Links.
I'm not sure.
It's all the confusion of Lincoln having to wait 133 years to go to Wembley, you see. And clearly at that particular moment in time, you know, we've got a ways to go until we get up to that level.
Absolutely, yes. No, I'm sure a lot of people have gone to Wembley today, my family included. However, we are all here for Countryside Links, and it'll be great. It's a nice fine day and there's lots for everybody to do. And yeah, it'll be fab.
And it's clearly a case of the Cowley brothers actually there at Wembley to bring the trophy back to actually exhibit at the Countryside show in June, of course.
The Lincolnshire Show, yes.
The Lincolnshire Show, exactly. That's the Lincolnshire Countryside Show.
The Lincolnshire County Show in June.
It is early in the morning. Shaylee, any questions?
Yeah, so do you enjoy organising this every year?
Yeah, I'm not the main organiser on this one. This is Rosie Crust, our education officer. This is her event. So, but as with all our events here, we're all a team, so we all pull together and help each other out. So, yeah, it's a great event.
We've already seen Rosie this morning. She guided us into the car park, which I didn't think we were going to be parking in any case, but we are parked in there in any case, behind the Epic Centre. So it's all very strange, but still wondrous. It's nice to see that Rosie, she doesn't just organise it, she actually does traffic duties as well.
Absolutely. Jack of all trades.
Indeed. Shaylee, what are you looking forward to today?
I'm looking forward to seeing all the tractors and smelling all the lovely food.
Excellent. And there's lots of animals to see as well, and lots of have a go activities. There really is something for everyone, and it's, you know, it's interactive, great day out for families.
I always feel it's pretty much the official start of spring now. I mean, I know 4, 5, 6 years, however, obviously the planning stage for 6 years now, 5 years. We'll say it's the 143rd Countryside Link show. It's been a long interview. But it is actually one of those things where whatever the weather, and it's going to be a good day today, I know that, it is pretty much saying that spring is here.
Yeah, it very much feels like that. You know, you look around and we've got all the planters with all the daffodils out and the hay bales out. And yeah, there is a genuine feel of spring now, thank goodness.
Now, looking ahead to the Lincolnshire County Show, getting its name fully sorted out there, I've already seen some exciting news that Jane Southall has gone public with in the press, that the RAF are going to be a key part of this year's show. Anything you can say about that?
Only that they are going to be a key part. Obviously, this year is 2018 is RAF 100, 100 years since formation of the RAF. So the Lincolnshire Show is very much embracing that theme this year, and all of our exhibitors are getting on board with us. So you'll see mention of the RAF in the horticultural displays, the young farmers' trailers. Their theme on their floats this year is RAF 100, and lots of our big bigger exhibitors, local exhibitors, are embracing it as well as us. So there'll be lots of red, white and blue and lots of pockets of RAF all over the showground.
And already people can book tickets online for a substantial saving.
Yes, advance tickets are already on sale for a substantial saving. So, yes, it really is worth booking in advance. And again, another great day out here at the showground.
Countryside Links without the Sheep Road Show. It's a bit like the Lincolnshire County Show without the mega sheep show. But the small but perfectly formed Sheep Road Show is here today. And we're delighted now to be able to speak to
Ginger, how are you doing?
Very good. Now, Ginger, I was very impressed last year when you said that the reason you have a slightly smaller show for the Countryside Links thing is it actually provides the opportunity for the children to get up close and personal with sheep.
Yes, it does. If as long as they wash their hands afterwards, I always do ask that, but you can always come up at the end of the show and get the feel of the sheep, feel what Nobby and Dougal's horns feel like, what Lenny's fleece feels like, the different fleeces that we've got on stage. And for the different uses of those fleeces. So come along and meet the boys. This year we've got a brand new Nobby the Norfolk Horn. He's a young man, full of beans. He would love to come, love for you to come down and meet him and make a bit of a fuss of him.
Well, that's interesting because clearly both Richard and Stuart, who are the two folk who normally sort of connect with us, whether we're in Yorkshire or indeed in Lincolnshire, etc., they're always highly full of praise for your good self, Ginger. And is this Nobby's debut today, then?
No, it's not his debut. No. He started with me at the end of last season, but this will be his first time in Lincoln. And he is possibly one of the best dancing sheep on the planet right now.
Well, that's saying something given his knobby predecessors.
Yeah, yeah.
That have been around.
Oh, that is the truth, yeah.
Extraordinary. Shaylee, thoughts of yourself?
I'm just in awe of all the sheepdogs in the truck, so I'm sort of like fangirling over them. But the sheep seem really inquisitive. How do you find they travel?
They travel well. I mean, every 4.5 hours we have to stop if we're travelling that far. By law we have to stop, but at that time we also get in there and feed and water the sheep, so they have a break as well. In that 45 minutes, it's not fair just me having a burger, they need something to drink and eat as well. But for here it was only a quick 3 hour journey, and the boys travel really well. The way we've set the lorry up, they've got extraction fans and circulation fans in there, so they can never get too hot on a really warm day, which we haven't got today, but at least it's staying dry.
I've often felt, actually, that in many ways, if you're a fortunate sheep to actually be part of the Sheep Road Show, you're pretty much rather like a Premiership footballer in terms of the sort of way in which you're driven around the country.
You are pretty much guaranteed a good, full and fulfilled life, meeting hundreds of thousands of people each year.
What can we look forward to this time around in terms of Countryside Links 2018?
Well, like I say, we've got the new Nobby. We've got your local boy, Lenny the Lincoln Longwool. He's a bit of a diva. We'll see if we can't get him dancing. We're going to hopefully teach you a little bit, even some of you farmers out there, about sheep senses, what we do with the wool, and other different bits and pieces that we get from our animals. So we're going to give you a complete rundown and a little bit of a history lesson as well.
And keeping the Antipodean thing going, I presume, Ginger, from Australia, New Zealand, it has to be New Zealand. No, you're going to say Australia.
I'm from Norfolk, through and through.
Seriously?
I'm a Norfolk boy, through and through.
Well, how bizarre.
God's own county.
I think it was the other guy, wasn't it, who was from New Zealand?
Yeah, other two boys. Oh, yeah. The other two boys are Kiwis, and you got a good, solid Englishman here.
Well, I'm astounded. I mean, clearly their accent has been rubbing off on you, Ginger.
You know? I better stack away from them boys then. Are you right now? That's what we talk around my way, yeah.
Ginger, I feel as though suddenly I've bonded with the sort of East Anglia area. Amazing. How can people get in touch with the Sheep Road Show online? Is it a case of just use a search engine and type in the Sheep Road Show?
It certainly is. Find us on Facebook. I'm sure there's a Twitter account as well. I have to be honest to you, ladies and gents. I don't hold
social media.
Exactly. But the office
not
does.
Mr. Zuckerberg these days, I feel.
No, exactly. But have a look online for the Sheep Show, and you'll be able to find all of our dates for this year and where we're going to be.
We're still actually with Ginger from the Sheep Show, because Ginger, you were sharing with us that these guys had actually been in the capital of Britain. They were in London recently and performing at King's Cross.
Yeah, we were just outside St Michael's Art College, a very famous art college in London, just up the road from King's Cross. We were there with the Real Food Festival doing, just showing the folk of London exactly the same as what we're going to show you. But they knew a lot less than you guys do, being that they're from the city, and you can't blame them for that. But we did have fun down there. We had some good crowds. They're very appreciative, the London crowds. They do like to learn. If you guys go on to Google search engine and put in sheep in Waitrose, you'll see the other job that the roadshow brings. We bring happiness to the world. One of my sheep, bless him, jumped off stage and possibly the only sheep to run in and out of Waitrose on an Easter weekend and survive. So if you pop sheep in Waitrose, you will see me, the disgruntled farmer, as the Daily Mail put it, carrying my sheep back out of Waitrose in a perfectly good state. And for anybody who sees that and wonders where he ended up in a field in North Norfolk with 12 girls and a buddy. And he's going to live long, long and lovely, happy life, which he wouldn't have got in Waitrose, let me tell you.
I can almost hear Hollywood producers clamouring for the rights to actually get that movie.
It's been on Absolute Radio, it's been on Sky News, the Daily Telegraph, the Daily Mail, the Metro. The funny thing about folk in the city, if I lose a sheep off stage in Lincolnshire, first thing that goes through their mind is catch the sheep. First thing that goes through a city folk's mind is grab your telephone and film it. Different breed.
Hashtag sheep.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
Yeah. Not at the time, I'm not going to lie to you.
You're listening to Siren Radio's Midweek Drive on location at the 2018 Countryside Links show. And Shaley has currently actually managed to not so much rescue, but actually capture Beeswax. Beeswax, who is apparently following in the footsteps of Nobby the sheep and actually escaping from these things.
Oh, he's so cute. And he just jumped straight over the fence. Bless him.
We're looking at the Easter Lynx Basset Hound Group. We'll be speaking to, I think, the Master of Hounds in a few moments. But, again, a whole range of canine activities here. They look as though they're set for a good day, I'd say, Shane.
Definitely, yeah.
And in case you're wondering, that was Canine 4. You're listening to Siren Radio from the University of Lincoln to the world. We've moved on from sheep and basset hounds right the way through to giving nature a home, the RSPB. And of course, this week we were just featuring the very exciting news of the big farmland survey, which revealed that actually the health of our wildlife in terms of birds is concerned is pretty healthy. But giving nature a home, RSPB, we're delighted now to speak to Sonia Nichols.
Hello, good morning. My name's Sonia Nichols and I've been working for the RSPB for 5 years, covering the whole of the East. I'm happy to be here today to connect people to wildlife and nature, giving people lots of ideas how to make their garden wildlife friendly and welcome wildlife to the UK, those that migrate as well as the birds that we have here in the UK. We are the largest nature conservation charity with 1.23 members, but we're always looking for more. So I welcome you to our stand. Have a lovely day.
Well, Sonia, that was almost a wonderful sort of ad in itself, which is perfect, really. But moving on, that nationwide survey, which again we were talking about with one of our colleagues in Leicestershire, in which I think over 1,000 farmers were involved with actually doing a census of the birds. Were you connected with that at all?
Yes, we were. We've carried out a census with that. We work with BirdLife International, which is we've worked with them for a number of years, and we also have worked with the State of Nature report that was carried out with 50 other nature conservation charities and research bodies, that shows printed in 2016, endorsed by Sir David Attenborough, and it shows the state of nature in the UK today. So if you'd like to know any more, pop along and see me.
And certainly, in terms of the likely positivities of the whole thing, I was pleasantly surprised to find that actually the number of species, the number of endangered species were actually, you know, improving. The endangered species were reducing and so the signs were good, although this was taken before the Beast from the East struck.
Yeah, the cold weather, you know, is problematic to birds, and it's important that we, you know, make sure that we look after them, feeding them correctly, and we can give you advice and help on that. Putting water out and making sure that we've got nest boxes for them to roost in over winter. Hedges are a great idea because they can hide and they can be protected in there. And it's important that we have lots of trees and habitat for wildlife to live in, so they've got the food source and they can be built up over winter, ensuring they've got enough protein, enough body muscle, and they can come out of hibernation. Things like hedgehogs have seen a massive decline, so we need to be making sure that we leave hedgehogs highways, and we're working with a number of bodies to encourage people, builders for example, and families to make sure that the hedgehogs are made welcome to. We're not just birds, we're all of wildlife.
Shaley,
what's your top tip for people to get involved?
The best way to get involved is to come and see me, and I can give you lots of ideas. We have Wild Family Active Challenge. We also get children. We have schools outreach, and we get children connected through their families, you know, from birth upwards. Because obviously, even as babies, we're taking in the sights and sounds, using our senses, and picking up things from nature. Connecting children to nature is important because it has been shown to be one of the five major threats as to why we're losing wildlife. And so, if you come along here, I'll give you lots of we've offered a family membership and lots of hints, tips, and advice to get your little ones involved.
Now, if folk can't make Countryside Links today and they're listening to this online and they say, oh, darn it, we just missed it and it's all broadcast, etc., will you be around for the Lincolnshire show later on in the year?
We will indeed. I'm not sure it's going to be myself, but certainly one of my colleagues will be along, and hopefully I will be too. Thank you.
Sonia, delighted to touch base with your good self. A reminder that you can also go online to find out the RSPB. Presumably that's the best thing to actually pop into your search engine.
Yes, you can, rspb.org.uk. And you can always look on the internet as well, rspb/homes.
And next door to the wonderful RSPB, we find ourselves looking at Explore Nature's Playground, Choose Woodland Trust, Family Membership and Explore Nature Together. It's the Woodland Trust, and we're speaking now to...
Kate Hall, yes. Hi.
Kate, this looks as though you've created a lovely little grotto on the Lincolnshire Showground, which features all the good things about getting in touch with nature and England's fantastic woodland.
That's it, yes. We've got the stall here today with lots of activities for the little ones that they can come and get involved and learn a bit about what they can do in nature. We've got some bark rubbings and some colouring books that they can take away, as well as finding out about our family memberships and the Nature Detective memberships, which are specifically for the kids.
I'm not sure whether our other reporters, the Rice family, have actually signed up as yet to the Woodland Trust, but when they arrive, I'll make sure they come over here, because Bridget, I think, would be in her element here. Shaylee, thoughts for yourself?
No, this looks really cool. So what's your top tip for getting involved in, like, nurturing trees?
I think it's just about getting out and exploring and enjoying the woodlands that we've got around us. You know, so many people now, you know, they're such busy lives that they can't, you know, or don't often get the time to just take it all in, and we've got some fantastic woodlands here in Lincoln and around Lincolnshire, as well as right across the whole country. In fact, we've got 1,200 woodlands now with the Woodland Trust that are free to access, that people can go out and enjoy, and it's whether it's the smells or the sights or the sounds or the kids splashing in the puddles and, you know, making, you know, activities with the leaves and things like that. It's about reconnecting, I think. We've lost some of that childhood exploring sort of nature, so it's just, yeah, about getting out there and taking advantage, really, and trying to preserve the woodlands we've got. We're losing so many now, unfortunately, especially ancient woodland, that we're really campaigning to try and protect from developments and economy sort of building and road structures and things like that. So it's really about protecting and creating the next generation that will look after our green spaces.
Let's not mention HS2 then, because that's another sort of line entirely. Kate, earlier in this particular production, I committed the tremendous faux pas of mistaking a chap who is based in East Anglia with having a New Zealand accent. So I'm going to say, are we Newcastle, Tyneside based, or Durham?
Fantastic, yes. Well, I'm from, I live in South Shields. So close, yes. But yeah, I hail from Northumberland, so good drive down today, but fantastic showground and looking forward to a good day.
Well, that's certainly beaten myself. I thought driving down from Middlesbrough, actually, to cover the Countryside Links event was a hike of 126 miles, etc. But by my calculations, you've probably done about over 200 miles to get here.
Yes, but it's well worth it. And, you know, we get to travel right across the country, really. And we've got some fantastic woodlands in Wales and Scotland as well. So, you know, we do go sort of far and wide to promote our wares.
And let's not forget Northumberland, because there's some beautiful country up there, of course, which reminds me it's high time we came back up to do some location reports there.
You'd be very welcome. We've got some fantastic woodland, and, you know, the rolling hills, and of course the coastline as well. But no, we have got some beautiful wooded areas right across the country, and it's just about getting people more aware and more involved, really.
Shaylee, when's the last time you were in the woods?
It would have been a while back now, and I had a black Labrador. He could run and run forever and ever. And there's a woods in Morton called Lawton Woods, which is huge. And you just let him go and you lose him for like an hour. But I was just wondering, where can people find more information? Do you have a website?
We do, yes. It is www.woodlandtrust.co.uk, and there's lots of information on there. There's the directory, and you can do a postcode search, so you can find woodlands that are near to you, Woodland Trust woodlands, and also other woodlands, so you can get out and explore, as well as some resources on there for the little ones, so some downloadable activity sheets, colouring sheets, things like that, so they can have access to those and yeah.
Clearly, as we continue with our audio promenade around the 2018 Countryside Links event, we've now emerged at the wonderfully, fabulously pink awning that actually hosts Cancer Research UK Race for Life, and we're delighted now to speak to
Diane.
Diane, share with us this magical thing about how this is beating cancer, because it is, and what the Cancer Research UK team are actually benefiting from in terms of the Race for Life project.
Well, all the money that the ladies raise from doing the Race for Life, be it either a 5K, 10K or a Pretty Muddy, all goes to research, and it's cancer research. So without the money, we can't do the research. Without the research, we can't find a cure and heal people. And the survival rate for cancer these days is very good. So the more money we get for research, the more lives we can save.
Excellent. Shaylee?
Yeah, where can people get more info if they want to get involved and actually do a Race for Life?
Well, we have some leaflets here today with us at the showground, and the Lincoln Pretty Muddy, which is the most amazing fun thing you need to do, because you get muddy literally, is on the 14th of July here at the showground. And then the next day, the 15th, we have a 5 and a 10K, and ladies get dressed up all in the pretty things. You don't have to run, you can walk, you can bring your dog, and that's right here at the showground in Lincoln.
Just a win-win situation. Presumably then, you're actually probably looking in July for some wet weather then, to get the mud sorted out. Is that a case, or are you looking for avoid the wet weather at all costs?
Oh, we don't care. You're going to get muddy and wet anyway, so if it's dry, you're going to get wet and muddy. If it's raining, you'll just get more wet and more muddy.
Would you like to share with us the name of your colleague who's also here with you doing wonderful duties?
And this is Frankie.
Hello, Frankie.
Hi, yeah, everyone.
So, Frankie, why did you get involved with Cancer Research UK and the Race for Life setup?
It's just such a great cause, and start off, the race is empowering women. It's non-competitive. It means you can get out, do something without feeling like you have to race, and it's such a good cause.
And have you done it yourself?
Yeah, I have.
So yep. What's the experience been like? I mean, after you've topped one up,
it's just so you get the finish line, you get your medal, and everyone's cheering you on. It's just brilliant. It's just amazing.
Shirley, is it something you're thinking about for July?
I've actually done one already for one of my friend's mums. I did a 5K and we raised like £1,000 between us.
Well, there we are. You see,
yeah,
it's all worth it working through. And would you do it again?
Oh, definitely. Definitely is a good cause, like Frankie was saying.
Well, it's interesting. At the showground today, you're just adjacent to the Birds of Prey display and just ahead of the hounds and so on. Do you get a chance to actually wander around the showground yourself to see what's happening at Countryside Links today?
Well, there is only two of us here today, but we might grab a quick 10 minutes, have a little wander around and see it, because it is the most gorgeous little show today, isn't it?
And presumably you'll be back and around for the Lincolnshire show in June.
Yeah, I'm sure we are. I don't know personally if we have got a stand, but the Race for Life is very well supported and very well publicised, so lots of ladies will be taking part.
Indeed. Hashtag Race for Life, 5K, 10K and Pretty Muddy, sponsored by, or at least partnered with Tesco, and of course all for Cancer Research UK, a Race for Life. Shaylee, as we were just making our way to another part of the showground, you said, now there are two very stoic-looking gentlemen over there.
Indeed, yeah.
Brave, determined, solid, much like the products that they're actually sort of demonstrating here. We're delighted now to speak to...
Stefan.
And...
Dale.
Okay, Stefan, let's come to you first. Stefan, talk to us about what you've set up here, the lovely bright red with Grimm, not fairy tale, but Grimm, G-R-I-M-M-E, in front of it.
It's pronounced Grimmer.
Grimmer.
It's a German company, potato agricultural company. To the machine to the right of me, that's a destoner, that destoner sprint, and to the left of me, that's an harvester. And obviously, we've just got a little bit of setup of all, and to start with, that's a planter over there. So we've got like a full range of our potato harvesting kit.
We are, of course, in the county which even the BBC refer to their local radio station as being BBC Radio Spud. It is the home of the potato as far as potatoes are concerned. This, presumably, Grimmer, is an essential part of collating potatoes together and everything from French fries to crisps onwards.
Yeah, we're a fairly large company. Obviously, we've got the market share across the UK. And like I say, being part of Lincolnshire, we're a big part of the agricultural companies in the area.
I'm glad we got pronunciation right for Grimmer. Any German background yourself, being called Stefan?
No, I'm fully English.
I just wanted to clarify that. It's just an interesting thing. Dale, over to yourself. How did you get involved with Grimmer?
Well, basically, I started my career as a Marine, moved into agriculture after that, and then getting from there. We started in the workshop, progressed into sales, now I'm depot manager at Swineshead. So, yeah.
It's all good. It just shows the opportunities when you actually join the armed forces that can open up for you from that point of view. I was always tempted to say Semper Fi, but that's actually an American Marine, isn't it, really?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Anyway, Chailey.
Yeah, what's the best part of working for a company like Grimmer?
Every day's different. No day's the same. You come in one day, it could be one problem. The other day, it could be a different problem. So it's just the variety of jobs what's on offer.
All challenges. That's not a management question, by the way. You won't get sort of added bonus points depending on what your answer. So it's all good. But Dale, similar sort of responses, change and differences?
Yeah, we have quite a good group of individuals that work in the company as a good part of the team. You know, it's a very nice place to work. We get looked after pretty well. And yeah, the general gist of it is it's a decent firm to work for.
Countryside Links is clearly about education. We'll presumably have lots of children coming along later on to see what events you're putting together and so on. Do you find that when young boys and girls actually see the size of these machines, they get very excited and they, you know, they think, what's going on with that?
I think the understanding from the children's point of view is from actually how the potatoes are lifted instead of being in bags, and that's where they come from, the supermarkets and stuff like that. I think now seeing all this equipment and having the pictures in front of each bit of tackle, it gives them the sort of perception of what actually happens. It shows them each stage of how the crop's put in the floor to how it's collected and how it's put into storage. I think it's important, and it's good to kids in the local area get to see that.
I know Rosie Crest, part of her dream when she set up Countryside Links a few years ago, was very much that educational side of things. And you know, it's certainly hats off to you guys for coming along and demonstrating that. Will you be here for the Lincolnshire Show in the summer?
Yes, we will, yeah.
Hopefully we'll catch up again then, you see. Now you've proved to go beyond just basic stoicism to good, articulate representatives as well. Well done.
Thank you.
Shaley, your eyes have lit up when you've seen Limebank Farm handmade cheese with, of course, the website postercheese.com.
Indeed, because I've actually had this cheese before and it is incredible.
Well, there we are. I mean, the interview should be dead easy there. We're delighted to speak now to
Bradley Towers.
Bradley, talk to us. How did you get involved with Limebank Farm?
I've been with them for 3 years now, since I was 15, and just been doing the shows ever since.
And I think, if memory serves, we've done pieces with you at the Food and Gift Fair before, possibly?
Yeah, more than likely. Yeah, we're exactly all over the country.
So what is it, Shirley, about these particular cheeses that you think, those are quality cheeses?
It's just the taste of it. It's very creamy, and especially they've got some really wacky flavours going on. I mean, I personally had the apple smoked, and that was amazing. I've just seen over there, there's a brewer's choice, which I presume has got beer or ale in it or something.
The Marmite cheddar, that one.
Completely off the mark there.
What would you recommend that Shaley should try this morning? And I know we're not quite sort of ahead of Tasty's yet, but what would your recommendation be for her location report duties?
Personally, I would recommend the caramelised red onion. Nice and sweet, nice and creamy. Good mix.
Would you be up for tasting that?
Definitely, yeah.
I don't want to open up a new pack from that point of view, but is there a chance of actually tasting it now?
Yeah, I can open one up.
God, she's just a saint, obviously. He's just working on that sort of basis. We'll work through it. And interestingly enough, we can also see the Crick Boat Show is being provided, which is Britain's biggest inland waterways festival. Is that something which Limebank are getting more and more involved with in terms of boats and so on?
We're just advertising more shows that we know we're going to be at. We're all over the country at the minute.
And of course, there is that postercheese.com, postacheese.com, if people want to order online.
Thank you very much.
Shaley is currently actually tasting her cheese, and she's still with Limbank. We've decided to move next door to actually look at a fabulous stand with a gentleman who's wearing a very proud, fudged up sort of chef's outfit, apron, I'd say, from that sort of point of view. And your name is?
It's Phil Bushell.
Phil, talk to us about Fajab. I mean, we've already looked at some of the comments on that. I can't wait to get my mitts on this. I'm sure this is on my Slimming World diet and so on. It's the best fudge I've ever tasted. Talk to us about this fudged up standard we've got here.
Okay, so we've been going just over 2 years now. We started the business, we're based in Grantham. We started the business with a view to making different fudge to what's out there. A lot of fudge is quite grainy and dry, but because we use Belgian chocolate as a base for a lot of our fudges, it creates a very smooth flavour and texture, which people are moving towards, away from that sugary feeling. We do a vast range of flavours. Our core range is around 12. We do things like Choco Cherry Bakewell, Choco Peanut Butter, Dark Choco and Bailey's, and we do some very unusual ones like White Choco Mojito as well.
So what inspires you to come up with these differing flavours then? I mean, did you sort of go off to a Buddhist retreat for a few years and think, oh yes, now that's what the world needs?
No, we just fell into running the business and setting it up, and we like to do things a little bit different, break away from the norm, and create fudge that's got a bit of a twist. And I think that's the part of it. A lot of people think of fudge just as a gift for looking after the dog when you go on holiday, but we've created a more luxury product that people really are embracing and taking great enjoyment from.
And in a world where lots of confectionaries are mass-produced and even owned by countries that are in America and so on, I still can't get over Cadbury's being run by a cheese company. Do you think actually it's important that, as far as Britain is concerned, we actually have our own producers of sweets like yourself, of course, at Fudged Up?
I do, yeah. I think it's important that we try and make our mark in the world of chocolate. You know, I mean, there's some great chocolatiers out there and people that make very good artisan chocolate. As I say, you know, we're fairly new to it, but we want to put our mark on the chocolate, especially the fudge world, if we can.
Do you have a particular favourite yourself in terms of the range you've got here?
So, in terms of the range, I love the classic Belgian white that we do. It's a very simple, pure and simple flavour and texture, and I also enjoy the peanut butter one as well. That's really, really nice.
And if people are trying to get hold of you in Grantham and they want to either book you for their own country show or they'd just like to actually purchase some material online, what's the web address?
So it's www.fudgedup.co.uk, or you can find us on Facebook at So Fudged Up.
Curtis and Linkage Agricultural Society, they seem to be just going together so well. And over the years, we've seen events like the Food and Gift, like Countryside Links, begin to expand, in addition, of course, to the annual Lincolnshire County Show. That could only be good for the county, and also, not just from the point of view of tourism, also education as well.
It is, and because Lincolnshire is such a great county full of renowned products, food products, Lincolnshire sausage, pork pie, stuffed chine, and it's a great way to publicise it, because also Lincolnshire, the population does change. More people come to the county and we've got to show them what Lincolnshire's got to offer and some of the fantastic products we have here on show.
I wasn't sure whether today, Neil, you might have actually been down supporting the imps at Wembley after 133 years waiting to actually get there, but presumably you've sent the rest of the team to sort out that.
Well, yes, my heart's down there. Obviously, my mind is here, and good luck to the imps this afternoon, and hopefully come back with a trophy.
Well, certainly the Royce family are going to be joining us later on today. Now, how is Dylan coming on with his judging scenarios? Because I believe a year or so ago we were talking about Dylan actually joining you or joining the sort of team for some judging. Has he passed the muster as yet? Has he given up?
Well, no. The event takes place this year on October the 13th, the poacher competition for Lincolnshire Specialty Foods, and he's coming judging for that day. I'll see him later on and give some extra tips on what to do, what to look for, because we're making sure he's in tip-top condition, ready for the event.
Absolutely. I mean, in many ways, Neil, I see you as the equivalent of the Cowley brothers for the Royce family, basically. You're kind of coaching them, nursing them through those processes.
Yeah, there's a lot involved in actually sort of judging the event. We've got another event coming up in Nottinghamshire Show, the Robin Hood event, which for evaluation of sausage and pies, which I'm involved with as well. And there'll be good training ready for that the Lincolnshire big event in October.
Shaylee, thoughts from yourself?
Yes, I'm just wondering, how long has Curtis been up and running?
Well, we believe we're found about 1828. And
I'm looking very good on it, Neil.
Thank you very much. I'm looking very good. Yes, aging well.
Yeah.
And I'm part of the seventh generation involved in the business. We started off as pork butchers, baking years. Nowadays, we're more known as bakers because obviously things, nature of products change, and how actually the trading
things have changed as well, because years ago you had a lot more independent butchers and bakers, and nowadays that has sort of condensed somewhat, and so it is now all going to ready-to-eat foods and snacky, but still eating meat in different form.
I imagine with this whole like veganism thing going on.
Don't swear in front of Neil, please.
Have you noticed a decline in the meat or?
Not yet. It's such a difficult to say, because obviously that has only just started coming to being a fashion. And yes, I think eating meat, you've got to have everything in moderation. And a dark meat is an important part of a diet. And therefore, it is everything. And meat is being eaten in different forms. Years ago, you used to have the Sunday roast and the joints as full meat. Nowadays, you get a lot of all the different sauces, marinades with it. So it is in different forms, and also with snack foods. People eating sort of as pulled pork. And I'm sure that, yes, it's like anything, it'll come into fashion and something else will come up and replace it in a few years' time.
And, of course, Curtis Bakeries also serve a range of alternatives to meat as well, really.
That's right, yes. And it is everything in moderation. Everything is part of a balanced diet, and that's how I look at it.
So what are you looking forward to today, Neil? Is it a case of when the children arrive and they say, it's Neil Curtis? You are literally becoming almost mobbed by the whole thing. What do you look forward to?
Well, certainly you see the smiles on the children's faces when they actually have a go making the sausages, which we're showing on here, as well as the biscuit decorating, because obviously little things about to show them and educate them where the food comes from. And particularly sausage making, you know, they're having a go, and also the delight on the parents' faces as well. Lovely to see.
Neil, it's been a delight as ever. We look forward to connecting with you again. We might do the Nottinghamshire show. We used to do that, but it kind of fell off our radar a couple of years ago. So we haven't sort of quite managed to get around to that. But if we can, we'll do that. Certainly we'll be there for the Lincolnshire show. And meanwhile, people can obviously access Curtis Bakeries from most parts of Lincoln, really.
Yes, it is. And we've got obviously a number of shops in Lincoln itself and throughout the county of our great county.